Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read a very familiar verse. We're going to share a few verses with you in our message tonight. But we've titled our message, The Life and Death of a Christian. The Life and Death of a Christian. And so a very familiar passage, very familiar verse. Many have claimed this verse. And ultimately, before we even get into the message, I believe that this verse ultimately sums up Paul's testimony and the realization of who Christ is, the realization of what Christ accomplished in his life, not only in living, but in reality, what was accomplished in Paul's life during his death. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We do thank you for all those that are viewing. We thank you for those that are here. Lord, we pray that you help us this evening. Help us to consider life. Help us to consider death. But most importantly, help us to consider who you are and what you've done and what you accomplished and what you are accomplishing in each one of our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, and we pray that you'll help us tonight. Bless the young people. Bless the needs that were mentioned by way of prayer request. So many, and even the names that weren't read tonight, you know the needs of those. So, Father, I just pray that you'll meet with us tonight for just a little while, and we thank you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I was thinking about the prayer request, and I was thinking about the many that we have on our prayer request. I was thinking about the many that aren't on our list that could be. And I was thinking about how that we pray about a situation and we pray about a concern. We pray about maybe a condition. We pray for someone. We even pray for those that have spiritual needs. And when things go well, and we praise the Lord for that, obviously, when things go well and when things are answered, we give the Lord praise. But what about when things maybe don't go the way that we would like to see them? Do we still pray or praise? Do we still praise? And so I think that when it comes to prayer, prayer is something that we should praise the Lord for no matter what the outcome is. And the reason I believe that is just simply because of this verse. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we look at the different seasons of our life, we look at the different seasons, and you know, when you read a verse such as this, when you're, and I'll just kind of speak in terms of maybe where I was in my testimony. You know, I was saved when I was 15 years old, and I was in church. My dad was a pastor. Now, there was a time that I drifted. As maybe many of you have that same testimony in different ages or different circumstances. But when I read a verse like that, or like this that we shared, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, then the last thing that I was thinking about at a young age, and even in the early years of my life, when I became an adult, then I spent more time thinking about for me to live as Christ And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I knew I was going to heaven. And I knew because of what Christ did on the cross, then I knew that I was going to heaven. And I knew that if I took my final breath, I knew I'd be in the presence of the Lord. But I can give you an honest testimony. The last thing that I was thinking about was death. That's the last thing that I was thinking about. But as a person gets older and you see all the things that's happening around us, and we see all the corruption and we see all the evil and the hatred, and you see all these things, and the older we get and the fewer years, because many of us, even we that are here and a lot of that are viewing online, we've got more years behind us than we do in front of us, simply because of our age and life itself. So we think more about the latter part of this verse, and we understand that death is a gain. And we might even make the comment, or might even say the comment in life, well, would death be so bad? Because we understand where we're going. We understand. But I think this verse applies to no matter what stage you are in life. Whether it's young, whether it's older, whether it's middle age, and whether, you know, it's life itself. And that's the reason that I believe that you could almost consider this verse as a testimony of Paul. Because Paul started out just as we each one did. Paul started out, of course, we understand him to be Saul, but Paul started out as a lost individual, just like we started out. When we were born into this world, and as many say, as cute as babies are, and as precious as they are, then in reality, though, they're still lost in a sense of coming into this world, because we're all sinners. I remember when I was carrying Marshall down the hallway, the hospital's not there anymore. It was the Women's Hospital in Greensboro. But I remember carrying down the hallway, and as much as excitement as it was, and things have changed a whole lot down through the years, it's kind of amazing how things have changed. And I haven't been in a maternity ward in a lot of years, but from what I understand, it's changed. But I remember the very first thought, and true story, the very first thing that I thought of as I was carrying him down the hall to the nursery there in the hospital, and they were letting me carry him, the very first thing that I thought of was, this is a life that's going to need Jesus. True story. That's what I thought of. And although there was a lot of, you know, excitement and all the things that come to that, I mean, that's what I thought of. And so I remember that Darla was in labor about 15 hours, and he was a very big baby. And I remember that we were both so tired, and she was exhausted. And, you know, I have to tell you this story, but when she was, in labor, you know, and she had started early that morning, and it got around lunchtime, and they brought her food. Well, she wasn't thinking about food. But I was. So I just kind of looked at her and said, "You gonna eat that?" But I remember when, you know, you think about life, and I remember that, you know, he was born, you know, around 9:15 or, you know, something like that. And I remember, you know, everybody else had him. The nurses had him, everything was good. We finally, everybody had left, and we finally got into a room, and she was resting, and I was in one of those most uncomfortable recliner type chairs, which I was thankful for. And I remember at 12 o'clock, there was a knock on the door, and the nurse said, feeding time. And I thought, can't you take him back? But that's part of life. That's life. Everything that we do and every season that we're in is life. It's life. And so for this verse, there's a realization when we know Christ as our personal Savior, there's a realization of Christ, and you look at this verse, and there's something that I want to point out, and that is Christ is at the center of this verse. For me to live is Christ. That's the center. And to die is gain. But Christ is at the center of both aspects of our life. No matter what season we're in, no matter what place we are in our life, no matter what mindset we are, whether we're saying, okay, Lord, come, and of course we're looking for Him every day, but no matter whether you're young and you're starting out with life and you've got a lot of dreams and a lot of plans, you know, or whether we're on the backside of life and we're looking for the Lord to come back at any time, and it would be just fine if the Lord took us at that moment. No matter what season you are in your life, Christ must be the center. Christ must be the center. And I believe that there was a realization in Paul's life that no matter whether he lived, it was still of Christ. No matter whether he died, it was still of Christ. And in reality, death is a gain. Because of all the things that we deal with in life, with all the life's problems, with all the life situations, with all these things, death is a gain. Because so many things that we worry about down here will be no more in heaven. There's a lady that I know that's going through some issues in her life. And I found out today, and I know her very well. I found out today that she had a meltdown yesterday, and the first thing that she thought about was, what am I even here for? She thought about that this mental breakdown that she was having. She's like, I'm useless. Pray for her. Because from all indications, she needs the Lord. But the point I'm meaning is this. Life is a season, and we're everyone going through different seasons. We don't know what we're going to deal with tomorrow, so we focus on today. We focus on this moment. We make plans, but yet those plans may not come to be because of something in life. So our focus tonight is simply Christ, which is in the middle of life and death. Focus on Christ. I want to give you just a few things tonight as we think of this being Paul's testimony. And the first thing I think about is this. Because Christ is the center, Paul knew he served an unfailing Savior. He served an unfailing Savior. You see, the Lord has never failed. But if you look at me long enough, if I look at you long enough, and we focus our attention on each other, then you're going to see us fail. There's going to be some disappointment. But I promise you tonight, He will never disappoint. There may be prayers that we pray that He chooses to do a different direction, or He chooses to answer in a different way, but you can rest assured He hasn't failed. So we praise Him whether we get good news or whether we get bad news, because for me to live is Christ. So he knew he served an unfailing Savior. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth maketh intercession for them. You see, his life, meaning Christ, his life is one of an endless duration. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter here in just a week or so. And we, you know, they thought, those that crucified him, they thought that it was going to be the end. They thought it was going to be the end. And those that he came, his people, cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he died that agonizing death on the cross. The physical pain, the physical things that he had to endure. But yet when things became dark, and when he became sin for us who knew no sin, you see, things were accomplished. He took our place. He took our place. But yet that wasn't the end. Oh, they thought it was. They put a stone over the tomb. They had guards. But yet on that third day, and I've always said this, that stone wasn't rolled away for him to get out. But that stone was rolled away for us to look in. You see, the tomb was empty. So he's one with endless duration. He ever liveth. He ever liveth. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again." Or take it again. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father," and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that not only did he have power to, it wasn't the nails that hung him to the cross, but I'm thankful that he had power to lay it down, but I'm also thankful that there was power to raise him up. He ever liveth. You see, that's who we focus on. That's why he's the center of life and he's the center of death, because he's an unfailing Savior with endless duration. His life is more of a, his life is one of boundless power. He is able to save. Men is marred and the wrecked by sin. Our sin has separated us from God. But Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, he's able to save. And if people would grab a hold of that verse, "Neither is there salvation in any other." And I believe that that's talking about all the different religions and all the different things that people try to promote for their own salvation. And I think it's all those things, but it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, that's Jesus, the center. The center. His life is one of boundless power. His life is one of ceaseless ministry. He was always ministering. Always ministering. Continuing to minister. The latter part of that verse in Hebrews that I shared with you just a few moments ago, he says, "Seeing he ever liveth to make his intercession for them." I'm thankful that he makes intercession for us. There are times that we don't know what to pray. There are times that we don't know how to pray. But I'm glad that He knows our hearts. And He knows what we mean. It's not about pretty words. It's not about, you know, there's individuals that may pray beautiful prayers. But you know, I believe He hears just as much those that seem to stumble, those that seem to struggle, because He evermore maketh intercession for us. Ceaseless ministry. And His life is one of endless love. Some might have the question, and I've heard it said, and many of you have heard it said, but some might have the question, does God really love me? And the answer is, look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. What He did was because of His love. What He did was because of His love. You see, Paul knew what he had in Jesus. When he got saved on the Damascus Road, he knew his life changed. His life changed, and he began to truly live. And the Lord told him, and I'm paraphrasing where it says in Acts, but He told him, He said, you're gonna suffer for My namesake. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some suffering. But yet the realization of His living was in Christ. Do you realize that His suffering was in Christ? Because that's part of living. Because we all suffer in one way or the other, and we all have aches and pains. And look, I look forward to every service that I come into. And when I'm back there talking to the preacher, I look forward to see what kind of pain that I'm going to get next. He's a prophet because He tells me what kind of pain I'm going to have in the future. And I just look forward to those pains. And He didn't tell me today, what kind of pain am I going to have today? Point is, our bodies begin to wear out. Our bodies begin to break down. And so we're going to have, that's just the physical suffering. But what about the suffering that an individual goes through when they've been hurt? What about the suffering that you go through? And in Paul's case, as he ministered for Christ, as he ministered and as he preached, he had great suffering. Thrown in prison. Beaten. But even as he was beaten for the cause of Christ, he was still able to praise. And because of that prayer, and that's in Acts 16, and because of that prayer, someone got saved. Because of that prayer and that praise and singing, that's living. That's living. For me to live is Christ. See, that's living, and he was praising, and someone came to know Christ and ultimately said, and I can kind of put it in our terms, I know the Bible says, what must I do to be saved? But I want to put it in a little simpler terms. I want what you have. I want what you have. But yet sometimes in life, when we have the difficulties of life, you know, I wonder if people could say the same thing about us. When we go through these difficult times and we get down and we struggle, I wonder if people would say the same thing. I want what you have. You see, that's where we need Christ at the center of every aspect of our life. For me to live is Christ. Christ is the center. To die is gain. It's at the center. And I've told you this testimony before, but some of you might not have heard it. But I remember there was a lady that used to come to our church, a very sweet lady, and she struggled. But she's in heaven now, but it was Melissa Smith. And I remember seeing her in hospice, and I would go to see her, and she said, you know, she said, I'm struggling. She told me, she said, I'm struggling. She said, I'm struggling with dying. And I said, you know what? When God's ready for you, you're going to experience that dying grace. You're going to experience it. And it wasn't but just a couple of days later, as soon as I walked in the door to see her, she looked at me straight in the eyes. She said, I have it. You see, that's living in Christ, and that's dying in Christ. Christ is the center. Christ is the center. And Paul knew what he had in Jesus was more than he could ever, ever hoped for. When we got saved, there wasn't a realization of Christ as the center of our life. When I first got saved, even though my dad was a minister, when I first got saved, I didn't really understand what truly happened to me. And I'm still learning every day what Christ is to me. I'm still learning it every day. What he had in Christ was more than he could ever achieve himself. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And only a saved person could say those words, for me to live in Christ is Christ. The world has the idea of, for me to live is to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. And that's the world's thoughts and the world's philosophy. But he knew his life had changed when he was saved. And Christ became the center of his life. And Paul knew things were different, because Christ was the essence of life. Christ was the essence of life. Christ was the very substance of his life. And that's why Christ was at the center. By nature, we are spiritually dead. And the Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. By nature, we're spiritually dead. But in Christ, we're in him. When Paul came to know Christ as his Savior, he received eternal life. He received eternal life. For me to live is Christ. You see, Christ was, if I can kind of put it this way, Christ was the radiance of his life. How do we smile in difficult times? How are we encouraged in difficult times? How can we praise in difficult times? Because we're in Christ. We are in Christ. If my only hope was what this world offers, I would be an individual of one of most miserable. He knew what he had, and he knew the grace, and he experienced the grace of the Lord. He experienced the grace of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Noticed, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. We shine as lights in the world. How do we do that? Christ, the center of life. I know an individual right now that's a Christian, and he is one of the most miserable individuals that I know. He complains about everything. Nothing is right. Always complaining about how bad things are and this, that, and the other. And I was telling someone the other day, not too long ago, I was telling someone the other day, if I was a non-believer and I looked at him, he gives me absolutely no reason to call on Jesus. Absolutely no reason. Because there's no understanding for me to live as Christ. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Galatians 2:20 I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For me to live is Christ. And how wonderful when that time is, death will be a gain. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the next minute. But what we are promised is being in Christ. We have hope, and that death is a gain. So no matter what season you are in life, no matter what time period you are in life, no matter what you're dealing with in life, our challenge tonight is make sure Christ is at the center. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you show us every day, for me to live is Christ. And help us to have that realization, as Paul had, that as we go through these seasons, help us to realize and help us to have that desire that Christ needs to be the center. And we know tonight, based upon what Jesus did on the cross and the life that we have in Christ, that we know that death will be a gain. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight and take thy word and apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.